Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
I'm down to dunk.
And I'm down to dunk. I'm down to dunk. This is J-Dub, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lindy Waters, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Kenneth Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to dunk.
Will you say this is Lou Dort and I'm down to Dort?
Yeah. This is Lou Dort and I'm down to Dort.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleich. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, hardly ever for this show on Saturday mornings, is my good friend, Michele Ibarra. Michele, what's up?
Well, it's totally my fault if we can't record on Monday. Thank you for doing this on early Saturday morning. Everything is good. Playoffs are just amazing.
Amazing. It's not your fault that we're recording on Saturday. It's not your fault at all. I wasn't going to record on Monday anyway.
Okay. Then it's great to record on Saturday. Then. it's awesome. Like,
it's my birthday on Monday.
And oh yeah.
My wife and I have the same birthday, and so. I told her that I would not do any podcasts on her birthday gift to her on her birthday and my birthday. So, anyways, Michele, the draft lottery, none of you will hear this until Monday anyways, so we can talk as if it's Monday. The draft lottery is tomorrow.
Wow.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Did you want to talk? You want to talk playoffs for a second? Let's talk playoffs, and then we'll do a tankathon spin. We'll do some draft preview stuff, but let's talk playoffs for a second.
Yeah, I'm basically watching two series closely, and then here and there the other two. I'm following closely the Lakers one, and boy, oh boy, I mean, it was a complete domination. Was just a game where. I mean, I've heard a lot of like rumblings about AD not putting two games together and LeBron being old and the supporting cast not being great. But they played like a team that had no questions about who the best team was, how they were supposed to play to win, and they did it. I mean, granted, you need some help because there are very few nights when Klay is this bad, when... like the Warriors in general, shot this bad. But they demolished them. They were more ready. They were more physical. And boy, Anthony Davis played such an impressive game defensively. And LeBron made everything on offense. He was just, hey, okay, let's play the way I want to play. I will create a mismatch and some of you will finish. And it was just... I mean, I'm not sure if this is more impressive than what LeBron has done in his career. I mean, the fact that at 38, he is still the most dominant player on offense, one of the most dominant players on offense in the entire league. It was just like an incredible show.
It really was. I can't believe what they got out of guys like Lonnie Walker in this series.
The Lonnie Walker game.
Oh my gosh. Even last night, he was really good for them off the bench. You know, and the Warriors were really shallow. You know, they were counting, like Jordan Poole was really bad all series. They couldn't play Jonathan Kuminga. You know, at least they didn't think they could play Jonathan Kuminga. I know there's a lot of complaining about that on Twitter from people that cover the Warriors or follow the Warriors, but the fact that you can't get anything out of him in year two, going into year three, is not great. You know, you can't even play him like 10 minutes off the bench. You know, you give those to Moses Moody, but if you can't play him, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, and in general, I mean, they had 2 years where they could replenish, refurbishing, reestablishing, whatever R you want to use. and I mean, they got James Wiseman instead of getting LaMelo.
Yeah.
They got Kuminga instead of getting the player that probably, together with Giddy, could have made the most sense in that rotation in Franz Wagner. And when you do this, when you mess up with two top 10 picks, and then you get Moody, who is a fine player, I believe he will have a career. He will have a career in the NBA.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's too much to overcome. I mean, imagine if they have LaMelo and Franz Wagner today.
Just one of them. If they had both of them, they would have won this series and they'd be the favorite of the West. Like, no question. No question.
Yeah, and now it's a real question. Like, what happens? Is this the end of it? And in a similar fashion, I mean, the game that will be played tomorrow by the Celtics and the Sixers will decide probably what happens with those two franchises. Now, Boston probably has some wiggle room. I mean, the coach was like the coaching job is probably something where you can say, okay, let's get someone, let's get in Nick Nurse or whoever. Let's do something different there and let's give it another try with giving like all the money that you need to Jaylen Brown and retool maybe a little bit. They have avenues to do that. The Sixers, I mean, what happens if they lose again? Will this be it for James Harden in Philadelphia? Probably. Will this be it for this version of the Sixers? Will Joel Embiid demand a trade or something? It's very, very interesting. There are so many storylines. And on top of that, we are getting like crazy good playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's been amazing. And it's been unpredictable to a degree.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun. Okay, Michele, the lottery's tomorrow. Let's do a tankathon spin. Maybe a few. And just talk about, you know, what this order means for specific teams or the Thunder or trade up candidates, you know. So if you listen to us just through the podcast, you can also watch us on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are so, so close to 4,000 subscribers. I want to get there. If you want to give me a birthday present, subscribe to our YouTube channel. I know there's a lot of you listening that have not done that, so please do that. Okay, here we go. Our first lottery sim. So Detroit stays at 1. Orlando jumps to 2. The Portland Trailblazers jump to 3. Rockets fall to 5. Spurs fall to 6. And Blazers fall to 7. The Thunder stay at 12. I think this probably stays chalk. I know that there's some guards in Orlando that people like, but nothing like Scoot Henderson. Obviously, Vic goes 1, and then Brandon Miller 3. Thoughts, feelings?
This would be the dream scenario for Orlando. I mean, yes, the chance to get Wembanyama is still like the best chance, but in a draft where you have the role that basically you need as the second pick, and you actually climb the draft four spots and get Scoot. I mean, Scoot would be amazing from them. He will be electric. He will work perfectly with a guy like Banchero. I mean, they could get pick and roll plays with Scoot Anderson and Banchero that teams will absolutely have no idea how to guard. And if you put a guy like Franz Wagner on the wing and you surround them with a little bit of shooting, that is a lineup that will work. And even for the Pacers, like to climb and get to three and get a guy that you can slide in and play together with Miles Turner, whatever you want to do, it's the perfect complement for a guy like Haliburton. Like, it will give all the spacing in the world to the Pacers. And but even if they pick Amen Thompson, I mean, you have Haliburton, who is a great ball lead ball handler, but he can work as a secondary guard. And I mean, if you want to play a man in a successful basketball environment, you need to put shooting alongside him, and the Pacers have that. So they can't miss. Either they get a man or Brandon. It's a very good draft for them, and it's a great draft for everyone because Houston like goes outside of the top four.
Beautiful.
It's sad for the Spurs to get down to six, and also for the Blazers. I mean, they are putting a lot of stocks in this draft. If they get a top five pick, I believe that is a pick that they will keep. I'm not sure if they will keep the pick if it's at seven, mm-hmm. or if they try to move it and to do something with that pick. I'm not sure what they can do, but again, we just discussed how much the playoffs and the offseason can change. Like, suppose that the Warriors are going to split. Do you try to get Klay Thompson? Do you try to do something crazy just to retool alongside Dame? Yeah. Or just move all out and say, okay, this can continue. Let's build around Shaedon Sharpe, and we will be terrible next season. And maybe we can get like two, three drafts in and see what happens.
Yeah. Let's say the Blazers do want to just retool around Dame, which is what they seem like they want to do. I mean, the Thunder could offer them draft capital in order to do that. They couldn't offer them players to do that, or at least they wouldn't offer them players to do that currently. But they could offer them draft capital that they could then turn around and then use to go get the people that they want. What would you offer? I think you could offer the 12th pick plus an additional two picks to get up to
seven.
Hmm?
I'm not sure if there's value there. I'm not entirely convinced that the guy who's there at seven has a different kind of value than a guy that is there at 12.
Yeah.
If they are enamored with a guy like Anthony Black, sure. But I would not spend two picks on it. Like, yeah. I mean, they did it for Usman Jang, and to me, that is still not a good trade. If you frame it as we need to get the pick because otherwise we are afraid that someone will get Jalen Williams, sure, you do it. You pay even like four picks for Jalen. But in this draft, I mean, I'm not in love with Anthony Black. I wouldn't spend two picks to grab Grady Dick or Taylor Hendricks. And so whatever is left at 12 is probably what I mean, Bufkin is the guy that we like.
Yeah,
that'd be one for me. Today we are very monotonous with our nicknames here in the podcast.
That's right.
For the one who can see, Andrew has Bufkin Believer and I have Bufkin Guy. So
that's right.
It's
let's bad. Go.
Yeah. So unless you have solid intel that Bufkin or the guy that you like is not going to be there at 12, and then sure, you can dangle one or two picks, but not very good ones. I don't think that there is too much value in trading up. It's different if they are at five. There, if you have one of the Thompson brothers, maybe I would actually think about it.
Okay, what if it's Asar Thompson? Right now, it's the Rockets taking Ausar Thompson at 5. What would you give up to get there?
Well, I do believe that in this particular order, the Rockets will actually pick Cam Whitmore. And probably the Spurs can pick Jairus Walker as they are, or even Anthony Black. And if Ausar Thompson is there, then maybe I would entertain the idea of getting one conditional pick, like a very protective conditional pick, and maybe one of the, like, a Utah pick or a Phoenix. Well, that Phoenix pick is actually very interesting now. Like, I don't know. There could be, even the Philly one. Do we still have the Philly one? I believe so.
Yeah, they have it starting in 2025, top 6 protected.
That is extremely juicy. Yeah. If you look at it right now. So maybe the Utah one and a conditional 2024 protected pick, that could be something that you do.
Yeah.
But does it really help Portland? That I don't know.
I don't know. What if you call the Rockets and say, hey, we'll give you your pick back next year.
Mm-hmm.
And we will give you, I'm trying to think what additional asset you could give them to make them bite on that.
Trey Mann and an additional first round pick.
Would you trade 12? I wouldn't do this. Never mind. I wouldn't do it.
Why not?
Well, 12 in their pick next year is too rich just to get to 5.
No. It's the highest upside in a better draft. So I would actually do it.
You would do that for Ausar Thompson? Yeah, because... For Ausar Thompson?
I don't know.
I mean, you say it's a better draft. And people that are much smarter than me are also saying that.
I have no intel. I'm just listening to Vicini. And I know that there is Jalen Brother. But that's about what I know. And you never know with the international draft class. Like, guys like Bilal Coulibaly or they can withdraw from this draft.
That's true.
And suddenly you have, oh, this is an interesting guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he can get in tier one.
Yeah.
Maybe a guy like CD Sissoko. I'm not sure if he can stay another year in the G League or if he even wants to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
It takes very little for one or two. Nick Smith. Suppose that a guy like Nick Smith should go back to Arkansas. Like,
yeah,
if he gets to a season where he scores 18 points per game on better shooting, he can go top 5. And these are very different money than the ones he risks to slide in the 20 in this draft.
Yeah.
And so it takes very little to go from a draft class where you say, okay, nice, I have a very, very deep draft, and then 3, 4, 5 guys, they just bounce. And because everyone thinks, wow, next year I can be number 2, number 3. And then boom, you have a different draft class next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm intrigued by Ausar Thompson. I don't know if I'm so intrigued that I would give up 12 in next year's pick for the Rockets. Just because you could get whoever's at 12, Bufkin, and possibly like the 6th pick in next year's draft.
Yeah.
You know.
Is it top 4 or top 5 protected?
Top 4 protected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it also depends what the Rockets want to do. I mean, if they plan to be good, sure, it means that pick is lost, but like, if they plan in their mind to be really good, then it doesn't retain too much value either way.
Yeah. I mean, they can plan to be as good as they want. They're still going to have guys like Şengün and Jalen Green and players like that that still need a lot of runway to be good players in the NBA.
Yeah, that's why I don't buy that entirely. Like, it's... I don't know. Yes, they might try to be good, but it's too early for them. Like, even if they get James Harden, I don't have faith that they can be good.
Yeah, I mean, Harden didn't even make an All-NBA team The Thunder had an All-NBA first-team player on their team and still didn't get to 500 this past year. Like, do we really think the Rockets, even with James Harden, could do that? Like, there just ain't no way. There just ain't no way. Like, at worst, like, maybe this is, like, the ninth pick or something like that, I would guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a good read on what can happen. That is why, to me, it makes sense.
Utah had the ninth pick. Utah's in the ninth slot, and they had a good season.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Utah, I think Houston hopes that they can have that kind of season. I mean, something crazy would have to happen for Houston to be better than that, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's right. Shall we spin again?
Let's spin again. Here we go. Hopefully better luck for the Thunder. Nope. Still bad luck for the Rockets, which is good. Thunder stay at 12. Still Bufkin boys here. Let's see. Wembanyama to Detroit again. Scoot Henderson to San Antonio, which I think would be fantastic for Scoot.
Yeah.
And then Brandon Miller goes to Portland, which I think is
a great fit.
It's a really good fit for them. I actually like that.
Yeah, but again, even in this case, you have a team that has Jeremy Grant, who is a good spacer. You have Dame, you have Simons. And I mean, yes, you would need someone that can space as a five man. But you can go small with a guy like a man, and maybe you play Dame, you play Simons, you play Shaedon Sharpe, you play a man, and Jeremy Grant as your center, and this is a great small ball lineup. I'm not sure which one they need the most, a stabilizing, electric, crazy athlete or another scorer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's again a great position to be in for a team that is a three that can decide where to go in terms of Brandon Miller or Amen Thompson. They don't have too much difficulties in sliding in either one. Yeah. And then, I mean, it's very sad to see Charlotte again, like bumped down a few spots. And it's a draft where basically the real winner is, again, Detroit.
Cade and Wembanyama for like your future is unbelievable. And to draft and first overall that many times, you know, is pretty crazy. Just to pick twice at first is a lot.
Yeah, and you pick two guys that if you rank the strength of the draft of the past 10 years, those are not I would say average number one pick. These are two incredible first round picks.
Yeah.
And so if they pull that off, I mean, Detroit is set. Now they need to have health. They need to have a better coach. They need to have like Weaver has to start like having a little bit of patience and constructing the roster in a proper way. But even Ivy has shown a lot at the back end of the season. And so it will be a great, great starting point for Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. That might even be an understatement there.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's unprecedented if you want. Like has ever happened to have two first round picks playing, two number one picks playing for the same team and they were picked just 2 years apart?
Anthony Bennett and Kyrie Irving.
But that doesn't count.
It does actually count.
And they also had Andrew Wiggins.
Well, they didn't know that they trade. Well, he never played for the Cavs because they've traded him for Kevin Love.
Oh, right. They could have had.
They could have Aaron had. Wiggins. Yeah, they had an incredible luck. Yeah, it was insane. Yeah. Orlando had Shaq. And they drew number one again and then traded it to get Penny. But that's another one. Okay, question. Sam Presti calls you on draft night. And he says, Mekhele, I have acquired the sixth pick in the draft from the Orlando Magic. And I don't know who to take. The players that are off the board, Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson, Brandon Miller, and both Thompson twins are gone. I need you to help me pick. You got 2 minutes. Go.
You should have called me earlier, like before making the trade. Like I would have suggested otherwise.
That's irrelevant now. Done deal. I just need you to pick a player for me.
Can we do it? Can we trade again?
No, you got to pick. You got to pick.
Oh, come
gotta,
on.
You got to pick a player.
So this comes with a disclaimer. I need to do a lot more work on Cam Whitmore. Because I feel that he's skyrocketing all the boards.
Yeah.
And I am not ready to understand why. The first films I watched were like not good for me.
He's just not a playmaker though. And I just don't think that they would trade up to take somebody who's not a playmaker.
Yeah, but he could be an ISO guy with upside. Which may be important.
Yeah, I mean, Kuminga is a guy with upside too.
I would not put him in the same ballpark as Kuminga.
I'm not saying they're similar players. I'm just saying that there have been players. I mean, we're picking in the top six, so of course they have upside.
Yeah, but I'm again. That name is the one where the consensus tells me that I'm missing on Whitmore, and so. He's there for our consideration, but since Sam is calling now, and now I don't have that intel, I can't suggest.
In fact, you've wasted the 2 minutes. They're gone. He's hung up.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding.
That was also part of the plan, not giving Sam the answer because I don't have one.
It's like a filibuster here.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't love Anthony Black. I would not pick Anthony Black. I don't like Jairus Walker. I don't like Cam Whitmore. And I don't want to draft like Grady Dick with the sixth pick. It's too rich for me.
Would you draft Hendricks with the sixth pick?
No.
Okay.
No, it's too rich. The same way. Like if I have
you have to pick you have to pick somebody in the next 20 seconds, or else they're giving the pick away to charity.
I'll pick Grady Dick.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not happy. I'm absolutely not happy. But I was listening to you, Alex, and Sam Vecini. It's still like incredible that, I mean, where we were and where you are right now. But anyway, it's cool. Sensational. It's incredible podcasting. I just love every second of it. And Sam is such a great guy and analyst of the draft. Mm-hmm. And he said that Grady Dick has defensive principles and offensive principle in his brain since a very young age.
Yeah.
And this is something that I know that he's not the prototypical player that OKC searches for. And I know that Presti will never ever probably draft a guy like him in the top six because of the lack of creativity of the dribble and probably versatility with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
But if you can give Shea, Giddy, and J-Dub, like, I don't know, 10 inches of space, 10 feet of space more with Grady Dick being there, I think that will work. Yeah. Is that the best way to draft at six? No. But I feel very, very sure that if Grady Dick is a Thunder player, OKC will have an insane offensive rating. An insane offensive rating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough range. This is why I don't love this draft. Is I kind of agree with you. It's like if you're at six, especially if you trade it up to six and you've given up a bunch of assets, like, man, I do like Anthony Black a lot. And I think that's who I would take. But I also have a lot of questions about what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's again, it's to me, I want to go with what Jay was saying on Friday, saying that we have our stars. And I know that you don't ever have enough stars. But look at what the Warriors did. In a wrong way, don't get me wrong. But the guys with more upside there were Wiseman and Kuminga. I mean, the consensus was, hey, these two guys are the best of the best there. They're raw, but they are talented, like extremely talented. Whereas Franz Wagner, in Matt Penny's words, were like a connective tissue, one of the best connective tissue that you can find there. And they didn't do that. And I wonder, like, OKC doesn't have Steph Curry.
Yeah.
They don't have Raymond Green, and especially they don't have championships. So they are not a team that is established yet. But they do have an All-NBA guy. They do have that. A guy that scored 30 points with ease, with insane efficiency. And they have a guy in J-Dub who had an incredible rookie season. And they have like a sophomore that is somehow forgotten in most of the discussion around OKC, but who is having an insane first 2 years.
Yeah.
So why don't you try to say, okay, let's get a guy who can benefit the most him in playing with those guys, and it could be beneficial for them to increase their powers. It's just basically having someone who can increase your powers but maybe not being an all-star himself.
Yeah.
I mean, in that sense, I know that you can do something and find like a guy like Isaiah Joe or a guy like Kenrich Williams. You can. But maybe you can get a little bit of a better version of Joe, a guy that in a gaming...
Well, he's a lot taller. I mean, that is something that's not nothing.
It's not nothing. You can play a lineup with Dub, Chet, Giddy, Grady Dick, and Shea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a good rebounder, Grady Dick is.
Yeah. Yeah, he is pretty good. Yeah, I would struggle with this too. I think I would take Anthony Black though at the end of the day, just because I do think he's got tremendous upside, and I think he can play multiple positions. I think he can guard multiple positions. You know, defensively is something you struggle with Grady Dick. They have like almost opposite games. You know, they're both 6'7". Yeah. You know, Grady Dick is the knockdown shooter. Anthony Black is the more downhill kind of guy. He fits more of like what the Thunder have already, but I think he can play with the guys that they have, and you play positionless basketball when you throw him out there. But you got to play fast, and everybody's got to move. Like the offense has to churn. If it stops like a traditional offense, and you just have Anthony Black just kind of standing in the corner, you have lost. Like you have lost. But if they can get these guys in actions and play really fast, it's great. And then on defense, I mean, you can switch almost everything. If he and J-Dub and Shea and Dort and those, like if you have those guys out there at the end of the game, I mean, like, holy smokes. Like it's going to be tough for the other team.
Yeah.
Okay, let's spin again. We got to get some luck for the Thunder. I'm just going to keep spinning until the Thunder jump up and then talk about what they would do, because that is more fun. There we go. Oh my gosh. They jump up to number one.
That is not funny. It's not fun to discuss. It's the only thing that they should or can do.
Yeah. You just take Wembanyama and you just dance through the streets. You meet me at Chili's here in Oklahoma City. I'm buying skillet queso for everybody. That would be
life. Be careful, Andrew.
That would be careful. That would be life changing.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Okay, let's just talk through this. We kind of did this exercise on the Dream Team show, but
I don't know. I don't want to see the mask. Okay. This is a great spin. It's for the guys who are not watching the pod.
Yeah.
Andrew did like probably 85 spins to get to the position OKC wants to be in, like the position is number two, which is to me not really a question. Like,
let's talk
this spin. Washington goes number one and they get Wembanyama, and OKC is at number two. To me, it's not even a question. I mean, I've watched a bunch of Scoot, and when he plays with fire, which is something that he can do, he's insane.
Yeah.
I know that Brandon Miller will fit well, but in this case, it seems that I'm going completely backwards from the point that I made before with Grady Dick. But the talent here to me is quite different. Like, Scoot Henderson is much better than Brandon Miller to me. He has an insane potential, and I know that the shoot the motion and the shooting motion is not great, but he's compact, and I'm sure he will make that work.
Yeah.
And again, like, he's fun. And it will be a completely different team with him. There will be probably growing pains to see how you can fit this guy with the current version of the team, but right. It will be fun.
Yeah. With that version of the team, I mean, you probably start Scoot, Shea, Giddy, J-Dub, and Chet. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that is a
absolutely.
That is a pretty sick lineup. Yeah. You could argue that Brandon Miller is a better natural fit with the team, where you start.
Yeah.
Shea, Giddy, J-Dub, Miller, Chet, and I think it's more it fits better if you were like trying to build like a lineup.
Mm-hmm.
That fits way better, you know.
Yes,
you provide floor spacing with Miller. You provide defense. You provide a 6'9" frame. You know, it's still being debated amongst a lot of people who is the second best prospect, and I don't know this for a fact about the Thunder. I do know that a lot of NBA teams are not holding Brandon accountable for the firearm incident.
If that is the case, it changes quite a lot. Because I think that...
Because I've been asking a lot of questions recently to lots of different people about it. Just because it was such a weird situation. And the Thunder just want no part of anything that involves legal trouble like that. They just want no part of it. I don't know what the Thunder think. Just to be transparent, I don't know what the Thunder think about it. I do know that a lot of other NBA teams kind of brush it aside and say, we're not going to hold him accountable for that. But the Thunder are different than everybody, And so I'm not willing to say with certainty that the Thunder would actually take him and not consider everything else that's happened. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm more open than I was last week to the fact that they could take him.
But that is a big part. That is a big part of the equation. If Presti drafts a number two Brandon Miller,
yeah,
people in OKC should be like ecstatic.
Yeah,
about it.
Yeah.
Because it means that they, I mean, it's in Italy or in Europe, like just the fact that there's a 19-year-old guy you hold the gun would be something like almost unbearable. Yeah. It's different in the US. So maybe I'm having this in my mind in a very different way than what it is, and it's cultural. It's very different. I'm not used to like having this kind of discussions and this kind of pieces of evaluation to deal with, because again, it's very different. But if that proves to be, hey, he just had a gun and he just like basically said, okay, take my car, just be aware, there's my gun there, please don't touch it, and something like this happens, then yeah, I mean, it's basically, you can say, oh, you could have secured it, or you could, like, you know where I'm going, like, it's a completely different scenario, it's just a completely different evaluation, and you can't say, okay, we will not draft you because you kind of trusted the wrong person. It's or something like super duper crazy happened and that person acted and he had no idea he could react in that way. So it's a very different from, hey, you actually plan to give him the gun. It's a very different statement. And so if that is the case, and say that in interviews and workouts, you see that Scoot is still struggling big time with the long ball, whereas Brandon Miller like is incredible in interviews and he's shooting the ball like crazy. And then I can see them going outside, okay, he fits them to a T. And like the personal level, we have no problems with that. And I mean, Brandon Miller is even like a good defender. It's not that you really you have someone like that you have to cover for defensively, which is part of the deal and part of the allure of Brandon Miller.
Yeah. What if Portland wants to jump to two? And they want to... I'm trying to think of what they could give up that would entice the Thunder.
In this case, I'm enticing you with a different trade.
Okay.
Franz Wagner and number four for number two.
Well, yeah.
It's a quick yeah for you.
I mean, yes, it is.
Yeah, maybe in this draft. If they are at five, and you know that you don't get, suppose that Orlando is at five.
Yeah.
You don't get a man, you don't get Brandon, you don't get Scoot, for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
would you do that?
Probably not. No.
Really?
Probably not. I would do it for I would do it for four because I can get him in Thompson, and like starting Wagner at the four next to Chet would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, that would be unbelievable.
And I would do it anyway.
And then I'm in next to, like, basically you probably bring him in off the bench as this like change of pace point guard that's huge and crazy athletic, and you know, you get the crazy upside. I don't think Orlando would consider that. But if you're the Thunder, I think you could.
No, it's probably not.
It would probably be Franz Wagner for the second pick. You know, maybe a future pick. You know, I don't think you can get both.
Would you do that then?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I would probably. I think you could make the case that Wagner fits better, But I also don't think he has as high a ceiling as like a guy like Brandon Miller or Scoot Henderson. So in that case, I would just wouldn't do it.
And you have to pay him earlier.
Yeah.
Which is also a problem for OKC.
Yeah.
But I just love Franz Wagner.
Yeah, he's really good. The value's not there. Like, I mean, if you were to trade Wagner for a pick in this draft, I think 4 through 6 is probably the range. You know,
I think Orlando would have no value there,
and that's why you wouldn't find a deal there. I mean, what pick would you trade Giddy for
in this draft?
Yeah,
I would not trade him for Amen Thompson.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's definitely tricky. But you were asking, suppose that Portland wants to trade with you. It's not that Portland has a lot to offer.
They don't have a lot to offer.
It would be probably a different team.
It would have to be. I mean, I would say give us Shaedon Sharpe and 3.
Now I'm going to make things extremely interesting for you.
Okay.
We are 2. Houston calls.
Yep.
They are at 6.
Yep.
Say, okay, we will unprotect next year pick.
No.
And give you Jabari Smith.
Okay, now we're interested. Unprotect the pick and Jabari and 6. For 2.
Yes.
Oh, I'd still say no. I'd still say no.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
I'd still say no.
Okay. I would say yes.
Because, I mean, listen, if this really is a generational draft and you can get one of the generational players, you just take one of the generational players.
Yeah.
Because those guys change everything. Jabari Smith ain't changing your life.
But
he's not.
He was supposed to.
No, he was not. Not him specifically. Okay. Scoot Henderson is supposed to change somebody's life.
Okay.
Jabari not as much.
Okay. That's okay.
It's interesting though. It's very interesting. Jabari's not a Thunder player.
I know. I still think that you need to play finishers.
He's in the category of not a Thunder player, but could play for the Thunder.
Yes. But this gives OKC a true possibility to draft J-Dub brother.
Yeah.
Because that pick, unprotected, can be anything. And you get, most likely, Ausar Thompson. It's not just, it's Scoot Henderson for Jabari, a very good pick, and Ausar Thompson. That is not nothing. And Jabari, I mean, he may have a bounce back year where he just proved to be the shooter that he can be. Can you imagine like a 4-man that can shoot the ball like crazy like he showed in college on OKC? Like, he's a good defender. He's a really good defender. Like, OKC will have a top 10 defense and probably a top 10 offense if Jabari is the shooter that he proved to be in college.
Yeah, but
he just had it.
But what if Scoot Henderson is the best point guard in the NBA in 4 years?
It will create a lot of roster change for OKC if that is the case. Can he be that guy in OKC? That is my question. I mean, Presti said something very specific in his exit interview. He said the team allowed for that to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, Shea may be next year the best point guard in the league, but you have to allow him to be.
Yeah.
You don't want to necessarily to put guys that have the ball in their hands that much because you want him to be. And you're already sacrificing part of J-Dub and part of Giddy to let Shea be that guy.
Yeah, Scoot can play off ball, though. I mean, he did that with the Ignite.
Yeah, you can. But again, we are piling up on guys that can playoff ball.
Yeah.
Not should, can. Which is something that at some point, and you still have Chet that you want to give the ball to.
Yep.
And averaging like 15 shots. I don't know.
I'm greedy though, Michele. I would do it. I would just take Scoot and just figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it can work, or it can send Shea to Canada.
Well, the biggest problem with the Thunder is they had too many good players. That poor team. Too many good players for them.
Well, they had that problem back then.
Yeah, that problem sent them to the NBA Finals.
Yes. Yes. they can go as high as the NBA Finals if they get the right guy.
Yeah. So someone has to sacrifice. And that statement will be true whether they got this high in the draft or if they're picking Kobe Bufkin at 12.
Sure.
That statement will be true no matter what. Someone has to sacrifice. Someone's many bodies have to sacrifice. That
I would say that everybody, not somebody, everybody should and will have to.
If they want to reach the pinnacle of what they can be, you're right. Everybody has to sacrifice something.
Yeah.
So,
and with this emphatic finishing touch, we will spin another way.
Spin one more time before we go. Here we go. And back to reality. This is actually would be a great spin. Wembanyama to the Blazers. The Pacers get Brandon Miller at 2. And then Scoot Henderson. I would take Scoot Henderson at 2 for the Pacers, too, if I were them. Just because I think Halliburton can play with another guard.
It would be such a terrible draft for Detroit.
Detroit falls to 5. Houston falls to 6. Hornets fall to 7. Yeah. That would be beautiful. I'd be all in for that. Thunder pick at 12. Are you just taking Bufkin at 12? Let's talk about 12 for a second.
Guys that I want to rewatch before I said that for sure. I want to rewatch Cason Walls, because the back end of the season was very interesting.
Yeah.
I want to go back and rewatch, a bunch of, Jordan Hawkins but it's between these three guys for me right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be happy with any of those guys. Is there anybody that you're just like in this range and you're just like, no, never, don't?
Many. I don't like Sensabaugh. I'm not sure I like Keontae George. I don't like Jet Howard. I don't like Jalen Hood-Schifino. And that's it.
Yeah, I tend to.
Nick Smith, to me, is a guy that should not enter the draft. We already said that.
Yeah, I agree on Jet Howard. I like Keontae more than you do.
It was the first player. I just have to go back.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. The lottery's tomorrow. Obviously, if something crazy happens, we will hop on and we'll be live for hours and hours just discussing what an insane night in Thunder history it is. And if normal things happen and they just get picked 12... then we will have a podcast for you on Wednesday where we just talk about the 12th pick. We'll discuss what happened in the lottery. If you just need more lottery content afterwards, the Thunder don't jump up. We'll have it for you on the Athletic NBA Show, specifically on the Athletic NBA Show YouTube page. That's another, if you want to give me a birthday present, subscribe to the Athletic NBA Show YouTube page as well. That would be helpful to me. So if you could do that, I would be very grateful. Okay, Michele, anything else before we go?
No, I'm just fired up. We'll see. And again, playoffs. These have been insane.
So great. Hope you guys have an awesome day. We'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday.